Father, we thank you for a time like this. Our hearts and our minds are open to hear your word.
We receive your word today with gladness of heart.
Yes, yes.
Our heart, our minds rather, is enlightened with the revelation of Christ that is found in the written word. And we walk in the light of it. In the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Matthew 28, from verse 18 to 20.
We are discussing on a topic that will take us for the next 10 weeks. The topic I titled, The Church, the Local Church, and Me. The Church, the Local Church, and Me. The Church, the Local Church, and Me. What is the church? What is the local church? What is my role in the church? What is my role in the church? What is my role? Who am I? Where do I stay? Where do I belong? Hallelujah.
Matthew 28, from verse 18, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. He said, go therefore, make disciples of all the nations. He said, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. He said, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the ends of the age. He says, go make disciples.
Hallelujah.
Go make disciples.
He says, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. You know, we said that verse 19 could actually be contested. Because we don't have any corroboration, any part in the Bible where it calls the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. So we don't have a corroboration like that. So Jesus wasn't saying go and then. He wasn't talking about it. There are some concepts that people have drawn out of this. They say, some people say it's water baptism. No, it's not water baptism.
Hallelujah.
He said, go make disciples. It's not water baptism then. Right? We discussed, we'll have that on the series baptism, right? On that series baptism, we'll have a teaching like that, baptism. So he's not talking about water baptism. Hallelujah. No. He said, go make disciples. Mark 16:15, he says, go into the world and preach the gospel. Say, he that believes, that is baptized. That is the word. He that believes. So that believing is the baptism.
Hallelujah.
He that believes that is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. I didn't say baptized for he that doesn't believe. Because the baptism is the believing.
Hallelujah.
So the baptism there is not talking about the water baptism, but a spiritual one. To be baptized, from the Greek word baptizo, it means to be immersed. To be immersed. And Jesus shows us on John 3:3. He says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He said, except one be born of water, that is the Holy Ghost, he said, he cannot enter into the kingdom. He said, how is it therefore? He said, you must be born again. Speaking to Nicodemus. Verse 8, he said, the wind blows away. He said, I can't tell where it's coming or where it's going. He said, so is he that is born of the Spirit. Meaning to be born again is to be born of the Spirit.
Hallelujah.
Are you following me? Yes. To be born again, to be born of the Spirit. So it's spiritual. So when you hear immersion or when you hear baptism, he talks about something spiritual.
Hallelujah.
Are you following me? Yes. Glory to God. So he says, go make disciples. How will you make disciples? He says, preach the gospel. Mark 16:15, right? Go into the world and preach the gospel. Go into the world and preach the gospel. He that believes shall be saved. Luke 24:47. He says, repentance and remission of sins will be preached in his name to all the nations. Repentance, that is the remission of sins, will be preached.
Hallelujah.
So when he says go make disciples, he's talking about what? He's not talking about putting them into water. No, he's talking about, first of all, he starts with what? Believing.
Hallelujah.
He starts with believing in Christ. Now that word disciples comes to play. That's the word in the Greek martyrio. It means to raise students.
Hallelujah.
To raise students. So Jesus said, go make disciples. Go raise students. Students of what? Students of what I have done.
Hallelujah.
Go raise students. That word disciples is used for how you know. That word disciples is not a church word. No. Jesus did not coin the word. No. That word disciple is a Greek word used for how people are raised. How you raise someone as an apprentice to becoming a boss. Are you hearing me? That's the word matitio. Are you hearing me? How you train an apprentice. Now he says, go raise disciples. Go raise students. How would you do that? He said, teaching them. Verses 20. He said, teaching them to observe. Teaching them to observe. This is why teaching is the primary meeting of the church. The primary meeting of the church is not praise concert. The primary meeting of the church is not healing service. The primary meeting of the church is not communion service. The primary meeting of the church is teaching. Jesus' emphasis was teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. Teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And what will happen then? He says, lo, that is the emphasis. Lo, I am with you always. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So that means when Jesus said teaching them to observe, it shows us that the believer's life is such that we keep learning the same thing always. He said teaching them to observe what I have commanded you. Meaning, the only thing, Jesus gave us a curriculum for discipleship. He gave us a curriculum for our spiritual growth. He said teaching them what I have commanded you. Hallelujah. So when a believer does not want to hear the same thing over and over again, know that that believer is backsliding. He's not backsliding, he's backsliding. When you begin to say, I'm tired of, like a brother met me while we were in the university, that was years back, 2008. And he came to me and said, Pastor Smart. He says, Pastor Smart, I'm having, I'm having spiritual kwashoko. I'm like, what is spiritual kwashoko? I've not heard that. You know, when you meet word folks, they know how to use words. So he said, I'm having spiritual kwashoko. I'm like, what is spiritual kwashoko? He said, every time we are hearing the same thing in church, the same thing, every Sunday, the same thing. He said, if you keep giving somebody one food every day, when you guys have kwashoko, he said, I'm having spiritual kwashoko. I laughed. I was on my bed when he came to meet me. I was on my bed in the room. I just realized, I'm not going to be sure what you're talking about. So the best of my knowledge, I told him, no, I don't listen. I didn't support him on that. I supported him on several things, on several adventures we did in school, but that one I couldn't support him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Because Christian life, our believer's life is such that we keep hearing the same thing. When you begin to hear something different, remember what Paul told Timothy. He said, in the latter time, he said, some will do what? Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy 4, we're coming back. He said, verse 3, he said, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But according to their own desires, according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, because they have itching ears. They will no longer endure sound doctrine. You see, let me tell you something. Scripture said they will no longer endure sound doctrine. It didn't say they will no longer endure. Endure. Sound doctrine. There's a point. There's a stage in your Christian life where you enjoy teaching. But that will not see you through. You must endure it. Hallelujah. You endure sound doctrine. Hallelujah. You endure it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's not supposed to be enjoyed, it's supposed to be endured. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, it's so that we keep learning the same thing in discipleship. I must make up my mind. I will keep hearing the same thing what Christ has done for me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Okay.
So that is what it is in Christianity. You keep hearing the same thing always. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3, look at what Paul told Timothy. 1 Timothy 1, 3, he said, I urge you, when I went to Macedonia, remain in Ephesus. I'm a bit fast, I know, but we have a whole lot to come, alright? I'm a bit fast, right? Am I fast? I'm fast. Okay, I'm not. Yeah. As I urge you to remain in Ephesus, that you may charge them that they teach no other doctrine. You see that? That they teach no other doctrine. May what should be taught should be the same. Right?
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. You dare read. He says, and the things which you've heard from me among many witnesses, say, commit this to faithful men who will be able to teach others. He said, the things you've learned from me. He said, the same thing, what would you do? You should commit. Meaning you should give to others, you should give to others to teach the same thing. So discipleship is such that you keep learning the same thing. You understand?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. So therefore, we can say that consistency is a major recipe for discipleship. Consistency. I must be consistent in hearing the same fact. I must be consistent in hearing the same truth. It's a major recipe for discipleship. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's a major recipe for discipleship. Glory to God. Let's go back to Matthew 28. Verse 20. He says, teaching them to observe. So Jesus gave us a curriculum for discipleship. He said, teaching them to observe. That word observe is the Greek word tereo. T-E-R-E-O in the Greek. Tereo. It means to keep looking at something. You know the way you look at. Why do people look at you this? I would have said Nigeria beds, but people tear their beds can. They tear their paper. So, what do people keep looking at?
Okay.
No. Can't. You've never texted, so I don't look at it.
No. Hallelujah. I have seen what you're eating, it's every shit time to do. No, okay.
No problem. Hallelujah. Okay, now that word tereo, look at what the word means in the Greek. Tereo means to, I'm looking at, have you done, okay, secondary school, there's what we used to do in secondary school, then I was still in junior secondary school. We used to do whose eyes will blink first. So we'll have someone who will stand and watch both of us. We'll be looking at ourselves. Once your eye blinks, you've lost. You understand? So we'll just keep looking at our same lives. So we're tired. Just keep looking. Just keep looking. Just keep looking. That's why I learned to look at people. That's where I learned it from school. Just keep looking. So some people get surprised when I keep looking at them. I'm used to it. Hallelujah. So that's what tereo means. It means to look at something steady. Now, that word tereo is used in the Greek to look at something as though if you blink your eye, that thing will disappear. Do you get me? So, Jesus said, teaching them to observe. Meaning, the believer, the disciple, is taught in such a way that he keeps looking at it. Looking at what? He said, all I have commanded you. Did you see that? All I have commanded you. So, meaning in discipleship, we are taught to keep looking at what Christ has commanded us. You don't blink your eyes. No. Hallelujah. Somebody says something distracting. They step aside. They say, no. My eyes is on what Christ has said. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Are you hearing me? Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Someone is telling you, sir, this pandemic, your neighbor has caught it. You say, no.
My eyes is on what Christ has said. Amen.
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 Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
It doesn't matter the news. My eyes is on it. People are saying different new things. I've discovered, some people are saying they've discovered new mysteries in the scripture. He said, I stick to what I know. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So some people are bringing new stuff, discovering what Paul has not seen. He said, I stick to the word. I stick to what Jesus has said. He's in me. He's in me. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
That's it. He said, teaching them to observe what I've commanded you. So the question is, what has Jesus commanded us? Hallelujah. What has he commanded them? You know, he was speaking to them. He said, teaching them to observe all what I've commanded you. And they went ahead and said, Lo, I'm with you always until the end of the age. So what has he commanded them? So he was talking about what he had been saying to them pre-resurrection. Hallelujah.
Yes,
hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Pre-resurrection. What was he telling them pre-resurrection? What is he teaching them? What I have commanded you. So you know it's in the past. Right? And he gave the summary to be what I am with you always. So let's see what he has commanded them. Pre-resurrection. John 14. Let's rush down to John 14. Quickly, John 14. I'll just read from verse 16. Fast. Verse, John 14, right? Verse 16 says, and I go to the Father. Okay? The old King James, the King James says, and I will pray the Father, right? Really, I have. My Bible, I've canceled that. You won't even find prayer. You see, go. Okay. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Now, say, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Now, he tells you who that helper is. Hallelujah. I got into someone,
SS2.
No, this is since I spent one of those classes, two or three. Now, a Muslim guy, met me and wanted to argue scripture. And he said, when the Bible says, another comforter, quoting this, he said, it was referring to Muhammad. I said, you are not well. Today, you are not well, well. I didn't know it was Muhammad. And I told him what he will never forget. Hallelujah. Though I heard, as I did, he's dead, but
that was the last time I had that confrontation with him before. That was necessary because I went to school afterwards. I didn't see him for a long time. I came back from school and stood.
He's passed on. Amen. Glory to God. So he said that, and I said, No. You didn't copy. You guys didn't copy Bible well.
I have my facts to say that.
Hallelujah. I have my facts. I said, you guys didn't copy Bible well. But if you have copied it well, you would have seen, because he was quoting Quran. I don't know what that means. Okay? You see, someone, I heard a Christian, a believer, say, you know, Quran chapter this. I said, oh, you have time. Hallelujah. I'd rather go with law book and read engineering book. I'm not done with scripture. You're quoting Quran. I say, man.
You have more than the Holy Ghost. You have something ghost.
Hallelujah.
Scripture is not enough for you. Just like the people are looking for third Corinthians.
Amen.
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 So you know what you are looking for.
Have boundaries in your study. Glory to God. Amen. So I said, if you have copied scripture where you will have seen that verse 17 say, even the Spirit of truth is a spirit, Holy Ghost. Simple. Is there no spirit there? Verse 17 say, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. So he was referring to the Holy Ghost. In fact, the word used there is
Verse 16, I'll pray, Father, I'll give another Aos Parakletos. Hallelujah. Another as me, in accordance with the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, God is yet in no matter know him, but you know him, for he shall be in you and be with you. Hallelujah. Verse 18. We are looking at the Bible. Verse 18. He says, I will not leave you orphans. I will not leave you orphans. I will not leave you comfortless. He said, I will come to you. So, quickly, what is Jesus talking about? He says, I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. He has told you that the Holy Ghost will be in you. That he's telling you, I will come to you. Wow. 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 Look at verse 19. A little while longer, the world will see me no more, but you will see me because I live, you will live also. Verse 20, and in that day, you will know I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. And he who has my commandment and keep them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and we will love him, and will manifest ourselves to him. I told her that what manifest ourselves to him will be what we will live in him. Right? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Look at verse 23. And Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. That is what Jesus is telling them. And my Father will love him. And we'll come and we'll make our home with him. We'll come and make our home with him. We'll come and make our home with him. What has he commanded them? If you love me, you'll be loved by my Father. What is that love? If you believe. Hallelujah. If a man be born again, the Holy Ghost lives in him. Hallelujah. And Jesus said, the Holy Ghost indwelling you, it is me in you. So what is Jesus telling you? He's telling you that the Holy Ghost is me in the resurrection. Hallelujah. Are you following me? That is why in verse 20, of Matthew 20, I mean of Matthew 28, he said, teach them to observe what I have commanded you. He now said, lo! Meaning, what I've commanded you is, I am with you always. Amen. I am with you always. So, Jesus says, I'm with you always. Will it be, I'm in you always? It means I'm in you. Hallelujah. He's with us because he's in us. Glory to God. So, Jesus said, he is with you always. So, the believer is thoughts. The believer is thoughts. That what Jesus is in him. He must not see Jesus in the sky. He must see Christ in him. Did you get that? That's why Paul said, Christ in you is the hope of glory. Hallelujah. The believer is not taught to see Christ outside himself. The believer is not taught to look at the moon and the sky and be looking for Christ. No, the believer is meant to see Christ in himself. Hallelujah. The believer should not be looking for heaven outside. The believer should see heaven in himself. He said, we will live in him. We will live in him. We will make our abode in him. Our abode. So, where does God sit? Where is the headquarters of God? God has got an address. God has got an headquarter. And where is his headquarter? It's in me. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm the headquarter of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Are you hearing me? I'm the headquarters of God. So stop thinking about God in the skies. No. 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 He lives in me. He lives in me. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So the moment I begin to look for God outside me, outside myself, I miss it. I'm no longer observing. I'm not observing the commandment. Hallelujah. I observe the commandment by seeing him in me. No wonder when he was taken out of their sight. The Bible says they rejoice. Why did they rejoice? They rejoice because he's now in them. Hallelujah. They rejoice because that is the fact of the gospel. Christ is in me.
Hallelujah.
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 Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. My mentor will say, he never left the earth. He lives in us. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's why the scripture will say, he shall see his seed and he shall prolong his days. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 Christ lives in me.
He lives in me.
He lives in me.
Say it because you know it is true.
He lives in me.
He lives in me.
He lives in me. Sometimes I'm driving and saying, He lives in me. He lives in me. Amen. Amen. Glory to God.
So I'm not looking for many teaching that try to point Christ outside me. No, He's in me. I'm His headquarters. He carries out His assignment in the earth in me. Glory to God. We'll get to see that as we continue in this series. Glory to God. Amen. So Jesus was talking about what will happen in the resurrection. And He says, in the resurrection, He will live in us. Amen. Let's look at what He said again concerning the resurrection. Let's look at what He said concerning the resurrection. Matthew 16. Jesus is talking about the resurrection. He's about to talk about the resurrection, and He says something. Matthew 16. So if you know He lives in you, there are some things you wouldn't do anymore. Some songs you wouldn't sing. No, He lives in me. Oh, glory to God. Matthew 16, verse 13. Yes, I'm just saying, Oluwa jo, wa de ni soke. You are losing sight of what?
He lives in me.
He lives in me. Woo! Plant my feet on higher ground. Higher where?
He lives in me.
Woo! Go away. Go away. Amen. Mm-hmm. Some people say, sometimes we draw away from Him. Let's draw back to Him. Back. He lives in me. The Bible says, don't you know that you're seated together with Him in the heavenly places? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. In my Father's house are many mansions. If you're not someone, I've told you that I go prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you will be also. Glory to God. Woo, glory. Matthew 16:16, Jesus speaking about the resurrection. He asked them a question in verse 16. Verse 15. He said, who do men say that I am? Okay, verse 13 rather. He said, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? They began to give funny answers. Verse 15, he now asked, who do you say that I am? I'm Peter. I love Peter. Always forward. Very fast. Say, Peter, I'm going to say, you are who?
The Christ,
the Son of the Living God. Hallelujah. You are Christ, the Son of the Living God. And Jesus replied and said to him in verse 17, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. He said, you are Christ, the Son of the Living God. And the flesh and blood have not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. So when Jesus said to Peter, flesh and blood have not revealed this to you. Remember, before the lockdown, we've been looking at what heaven and earth, right? Now, when we hear flesh and blood, it refers to the senses. Tell us that. It refers to the senses. It refers to experience. Hallelujah. So, what Jesus said to Peter is, experience is not revealed this to you. It's not from your senses. Hallelujah. Did you get it? He said, but my Father who is in heaven, meaning Simon Peter knew that he is Jesus, the Son of the Living God. He is the Christ, Son of the Living God, by revelation. It's not from his senses. Are you hearing me? By revelation. That's what Jesus said. So Jesus commended him. Look at verse 18. And I said to you, you are Peter. You are Peter. Peter tells him, you are Jesus, the Son of the Living God. And he says, you are Peter. And I said, and upon this rock, I will build my church. And the gates of hell will not prevail. He said, you are Peter. So something we'll get to see as we discuss the revelation of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But it's good to know that in the revelation of Christ, the revelation of the believer is found in the revelation of Christ. So when Jesus said, "Thou art Peter," it's because of that truth. He said, "You are Peter." So in the revelation of Christ, or in the revelation of Christ, the believer is found. Hallelujah. So therefore, it is a mistake. Let me do that. Okay. It is, let me put it like this. To see a believer or to know a believer outside Christ is to know a believer, not to know the believer. A believer must be known in Christ. You are born again. You must see that person in Christ. Do you understand? The person's personality must be seen from where the standpoint of Christ. You cannot, you see, let me tell you something. You don't know a believer is not a thief. That is why that brother on the cross with Jesus, you kept calling the thief on the cross with Jesus. He's a brother. Do you understand? He is a bro. He's a bro. You don't say the thief on the cross. Which thief? It's not a thief anymore. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So that conversation on the cross, nobody knew about it apart from Christ. So that means in the first day, Jesus would have told that event because they had that conversation on the cross. Hallelujah. So Jesus would have told them the event. This brother. So he told them that event to point their hearts to something. Hallelujah. Now that brother, that guy on the cross, he's in the kingdom. He's born again. Hallelujah. He believed. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So he said, bro, you cannot know a believer outside Christ. Are you hearing me? He's first in Christ. Hallelujah. So that's why it is wrong to call a believer. Listen, a believer, not a believer has done something wrong. It's wrong to draw and then call a believer you are a thief. No, you don't say that to a believer. Because the Bible says he is sanctified. Glory to God. He's seen first in Christ before you address the issue. Are you hearing me? So if you have to address an issue with a believer, you're not a believer, you are unrighteous. How can you say that? He's seen in Christ first. Hallelujah. Amen. A believer is known first in Christ. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Don't worry. We have a lot of teachers. Yeah, glory to God. Amen. Amen. 4 or 5 months down, we'll cover it. Glory to God. We will cover that. We'll go teach it. Good teacher. Amen. 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 So let's continue. So you can't know a believer outside Christ. We said that during when we had a teaching on the inward witness, right? You cannot know a believer outside Christ. No, you can't. So you must see the believer in Christ. So Jesus said, "Upon this rock I will build my church." So a key word for our study today will be what? This rock. We're going to consider this, the words of Jesus in verse 18. Say, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gate of hell shall not prevail." So we're going to look at that. We're going to consider that. The key word is the rock, my church, the gate of hell, and the keys. Verse 9 says, I will give to you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. So that will be our key study today. Amen. Study. Please. He said, we come to church. We don't come to church today. Check it.
No.
We're not being. This is not Thanksgiving service. Ah! And we went to church and they are dancing. Woo! No, we there. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So when Jesus said, "Upon this rock," when he said, "This is the word, this rock," Matthew, the writer, expects you to see what he has said concerning the rock before now. You understand? We're saying upon this rock. What does it mean upon this rock? There are people who have said, saying upon Peter. I had to battle people since my days in secondary school.
Now, I had an issue with a teacher in Nefa Secondary School concerning that word, a Roman Catholic teacher.
Yeah. Rabbi said, upon this purpose, referring to Peter. Peter is the rock.
That is what you get when you read the Bible halfway.
Hallelujah. When he says upon this rock, what does he mean by this rock? So Peter puts the word this rock for you to see. So he expects you to have read, that is why you have to read in context, right? So he expects you to have seen what he has said concerning rock before now. And what did he talk about rock? Matthew 7. Rush down to Matthew 7:24. Quickly, I'm going to be very fast. Matthew 7:24. If you are there, read. So therefore, whoever hears this saying of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who builds his house on the rock. When he said, whoever hears this saying of mine and does them, would that be to believe?
Yes.
Would that be to believe?
Yes.
Yeah, it would be to believe. So he said, he who believes his words, what would be? He will liken him to a man who builds his house on the rock. Let's see the description of that rock, verse 25. And the rain descended, the flood came, the wind blew, and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. So Peter makes you see that he's using rock to mean what is immovable and cannot be destroyed. What is immovable and cannot be destroyed. Something that stays and lasts forever. Does not go up. So Peter makes you, he paints that picture of a rock for you. Something that cannot be destroyed, that does not go up, that stays forever. Please mark this word, because we'll get to see it as we continue in our teaching weeks and weeks from now. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. He also makes you see that the word rock is used in relation to believing the truth of the gospel. Rock is used in relation to believing the truth of the gospel. So whoever believes my words, whoever hears the saying of mine and does them, that believes in it, right? It can be likened to a man who builds his house on the rock. Before we go down to the epistles to see how the word rock is used, let's look at that word rock is a Moses language. Moses used the word rock very well, right? Moses used the word rock very well. Remember, we say the Old Testament scriptures is explained where? In the epistles, right? You find the explanation in the epistles. Okay, Moses used the word rock in Exodus 17, verse 6,
where he struck the rock and water came out. Right? He struck the rock and water came out. We're going to look at that very well. We'll look at that later on today. Very soon. Now, he struck the rock, water came out. Now, that was Moses prefiguring something for us. So if you get to that part of the story, I just see miracle. Oh, water came out. Fine, that is a miracle. But Moses did that to prefigure something. Moses wrote that so that you would see something. Do you understand me? Are you hearing me? Moses wrote that to prefigure something. So I must not take it literal. I must look at what it means in what epistles. How it is used or explained in the epistles. Hallelujah. We get to see that.
So, but in as much as Moses has shown you this as a prefiguring, he tells you something in Deuteronomy 32:4. Let's look at Deuteronomy 32:4. Deuteronomy 32:4. That's what Moses calls rock. Now, this is in Moses' teaching. Now, this is Moses' teaching. Deuteronomy 32:4. Now, Moses is teaching. Remember, when he struck the rock and water came out, it was a prefiguring. Right? It was an event. So Moses wrote it to prefigure something.
Yes.
Are you hearing me? Are you following me?
Yes.
Moses wrote it to prefigure something. Now we're going to see that, but in Moses' explanation of things, of scripture, or in Moses' explanation of the person of God, Moses said something concerning the rock.
So this is, so you say the book of Deuteronomy will be Moses' teaching. Are you hearing me? The book of Deuteronomy will be Moses' teaching. Just look at what Moses taught concerning the rock. Verse 4. He says, I'll start from verse 3. He says, for I proclaim the name of the Lord, ascribes greatness to our God. He is the rock, his work is perfect. For all his ways are justice, a God of truth and without injustice, righteous and upright is he is. Ah, he calls God the rock. Are you following that?
Yes,
he calls who? God the rock. Take that down somewhere, write it down somewhere. He is the rock. Are you hearing me? So meaning by reading Moses' explanation, I said, would you even know what the rock and the water mean? Actually meant what he wrote. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Look at Deuteronomy chapter 32. We are saying 32, sorry. Verse 15. Look at verse 15. But Jeshurun grew fat and kicked. You grew fat. You grew thick. You are obese. Then he forsook God who made him and scorned extremely the rock of his salvation. He was talking about Jason, and he said he did not esteem God, and he calls God what? The rock of his salvation. So he calls the rock what? Rock. Uses the word rock for what? The rock of salvation. Do you understand me? Calls it the rock of salvation. Who does he call the rock of salvation? God. He said God is the rock of salvation. Take note of that. He calls God the rock. He calls him what? The rock of salvation. Are you following that? Look at 1 Timothy 2:2. I mean 1 Samuel 2:2. I said Timothy. 1 Samuel 2:2. Said, no one is holy like the Lord, for there is none beside you, nor there is any rock like our God. Like our God. So he uses rock to liking God. Do you get that? He uses it for the truth about God. Are you following me? He uses rock for the truth about God. In 2 Samuel 22 verse 3. 2 Samuel 22 3. I'm following this carefully. 2 Samuel 22 verse 3. Have to be fast now because we have to round up soon. The God of my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold, my refuge, my savior, you saved me from violence. He calls it what? The God of my strength, whom I will trust, the shield and the horn of my salvation. He calls him the shield and the rock of my salvation. Because so the word rock is likened to what God used for the truth about God. That's Psalm 22. Look at verse 47. That's in 2 Samuel 22, 47. He says what? He said, the Lord lives. Blessed be the rock. Blessed be my rock. Let God be exalted. The rock of my salvation is used for God. The rock of my salvation. So it shows you that when Moses wrote about the rock and the water, it has to do with salvation. Are you following this? So, if I get to Exodus, and I see Moses struck the rock and water came out, and I'm watching Bible story, and I'm happy. Water came out, oh wow. Woo! I will miss the truth. Remember, I told us from our teaching on understanding the gospel, that was series 2A. I said the truth is hidden amongst what? Facts. So what is fact? Fact would be the scenarios, the events of things that happen. But you know, in those events, you have the truth inside it. Are you hearing me? That is why when you get to Matthew 19 and you think Adam and Eve, and when he says, what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. And you are thinking of husband and wife in the church, and they are doing vows. Then you are missing it.
Yes.
Because what Adam was
Moses was writing about Adam and Eve was concerning salvation. Do you understand me? When you see, let us, I will make him and help me. And I think in help me is woman. Ah. What is that penalty of showing?
Yes, now.
You have thrown it away. Yes, if I don't know the people, my daddy, that's what the God calls. And you treat one way. I put on that video this week and I was like, I was angry. As in, so that has happened years ago. I saw it happen. And I won't depend. I said, what's the name of this? That is the God that we needed. And he threw it. I was not praying at his feet. If I get there, I felt like killing him. You know, that's what happened when you now go and you read, let's make him and help me. I see a man sit at home. He said, my wife is my helpmeet. He's there, she's there to wash clothes, cook food. You're not well. You're not well very well, though.
Hallelujah. Christ, your wife is a helpmeet. That word helpmeet is used for God.
So, when Moses wrote that, he doesn't want you to see events. Remember, the truth is hidden among the event. I hear me. So you don't just sit down and you are, the Bible is not a storybook. No. No. Matthew 24. The prophet spoke about Christ. So the Bible is not a storybook. Don't go there and be reading, Lord, make me a little child like Samuel. Are you okay? Read the truth among the facts. Hallelujah. There's a truth hidden among the facts. That I must see. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So when Moses is writing about the rock and the water, he wants you to see salvation. Salvation for who? Salvation for man. Amen.
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 Amen. Glory to God.
Amen. Let's see how Paul will explain that word rock. Right? Let's see Paul's explanation. So Moses has made us see that when he talks about rock, he's talking about salvation. And it's used for God. So that means when Jesus is talking about rock, you will not be thinking about Peter. He will say, Peter is the rock when Jesus started the church. Peter was not married. You are not well.
The Peter I knew had a mother-in-law. I can only have a mother-in-law when you have a wife. Abby? Yes. He said, I did not go to school.
Thank you.
Let's continue. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Let's see what happened. Paul will explain rock. First Corinthians 10. Amen. The church. We're still talking about the church, right? Are we still on track? We're still on track. No, we're still talking about the church, the local church, and me, right?
Yeah.
We're still on track, but
yeah.
Let's continue. Chapter 10, last one. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware. Listen to this. All our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. Right? Right?
Yeah.
They were under the cloud and they passed through the sea. Did they pass through the sea?
Yes.
Look at what Paul explained it to me, verse 2. And they were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Okay. Did you not see?
Okay, let's continue. Look at verse 3. It says, and they ate the same spiritual food.
Spiritual food. Bow. Continue.
Running to manna,
don't worry. You manna yourself now. Verse 4. And they drank the same spiritual drink. They drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Pause. Did you see this? Paul calls it spiritual rock. They drank of it. Called it spiritual rock. Was that a spiritual rock? Was that not physical rock?
Yeah.
So that means we have to, let's investigate what is Paul talking about. Are you following that? Now Paul is about to explain that truth that is hidden amongst that fact of the rock and the water. And he calls it spiritual. And he said he followed them. Did the rock follow them? Rock did not follow them. They met rock. Right? And they continued. But Paul said this rock followed them. So that means what Moses did by writing that concerning that rock was to prefigure what has been following them. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
Okay, let me borrow someone. So if you are here, say uh-huh. If you are not here, say
Nobody. Okay. I want to know who is not following. Okay, amen.
Amen.
Okay, let's proceed. Verses 4. And they drank of that same spiritual drink. So Paul calls it spiritual drink.
But I thought this was what they drank. And he said that rock followed them. So that means what happened there, it happened in real sense, right? It happened to them that water came out of the rock, but Moses wrote it. Remember, Moses didn't write immediately the event happened. No. But Moses wrote it for them to prefigure what follows them. And that's what Paul is writing, that hey, that rock followed you. And remember, we said Moses wrote it to signify what? Salvation, right? So meaning in that event is salvation. And when Paul is now writing, Paul is saying salvation was what you had all through that followed you. Let's explain that from Paul. Right? So we are in Paul. We are in the class of Paul. So let's look at Paul. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And they drank of that same spiritual drink that followed them. And they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. And the rock was Christ. So Paul narrowed it down and said the rock is Christ. Christ was telling them, calm down. That was why we had that study on the place of the Holy Ghost in the Old Testament, right? We did that study last time, right? On understanding the gospel, right? Hallelujah. But let's just look at that a bit. How does Paul use, now when Paul uses the word spiritual here, he expects you've seen how he has used spiritual before, right? So how does Paul use spiritual? 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Go back to 1 Corinthians. He wants to see how he has been talking about spiritual from chapter 2. You should follow me. Let's get this. Chapter 2, verse 4. He says, "If I preach my okay." He says, verse 4. He says, "For my speech and my preaching were not with the enticements of wise man's wisdom, but with the demonstration of the Holy Ghost and power, that your faith should stand not in the that your faith should stand not in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. However, we speak the wisdom of God." Among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of the age who are coming to know, but we speak the wisdom of God in the mystery, the hidden wisdom of God, ordained before the ages to our glory. For none of the rulers, none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. As it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the thing which God has prepared for them that love him. Verse 12. For he has revealed them to us by his Spirit. Right? Verse 12, right? So the Spirit searches all things, yet the deep things of God. One man knoweth the things of the man except the spirit of the man which is in him. He said, the things of God knoweth no man except the spirit of God. Right?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Verse 12. Now we've received not the spirit of this world, but the spirit which is of God, that we may know those things that are freely given to us. Now look at what how he uses the word spirit. He said, we have received the spirit of God. Right? In verse 4, he said, the spirit of God. He said, when I preach the gospel, he said, it is the demonstration of the Holy Ghost and power. That word demonstration is the Greek word apodexis. Apodexis means to put light upon the dark surface. Meaning when the word of God was preached, it was the Spirit of God putting light on the dark surface. Where is the dark surface? The dark surface will be in the mind of the man who does not believe. So when the preaching of the gospel was going on, it is the Spirit's work, hallelujah, to give light to the finished work of Christ. Hallelujah. So he uses the Spirit for what? The preaching of the gospel. And he said, when a man now receives that preaching, that man has received the Holy Ghost. Are you hearing me? So how does Paul use the word Spirit? He used the word Spirit for the gospel and use it for what? What I receive when I get born again. Hallelujah. That is the word we just said, Lord, I am with you always. That is it. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. I love Jesus so much. So much. If I'm too fast, just let me know. But I don't think I'm fast. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. So, each of these tracks,
For the sake of each of these tracks, will be made available on the website every Tuesday morning. So every Tuesday morning, everybody gets to listen to it again, and then listen to it on Friday before we come on Sunday, because it's going to take a stretch of 10-11 weeks.
Are you hearing me? So keep listening to it.
Before you come for a meeting, you must have listened to the track before, that you understand the flow.
Hallelujah. Keep learning. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. Okay. So Paul uses the Spirit for what? The gospel, communication of the gospel, and for what?
What we receive when we believe, right?
Look at verse 13. For he said, these things we speak, not in the words in which man's wisdom teaches, but with the Holy Ghost teaches. He said, comparing spiritual things with spiritual.
So spiritual things will be what? The gospel. Spiritual will be the man who has received the gospel. When you use the word spiritual, spiritual means,
when you use the word spiritual,
you must have in the surrounding what is said concerning the word spirit. So when it says spiritual things, it refers to the gospel as spiritual things. And the man who received the gospel is called spiritual. Chapter 20, verse 1, I don't speak to you as unto spiritual. So the man who is born again is spiritual.
Amen.
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 The man who is born again is spiritual. The gospel is spiritual. So now let's watch down to chapter 10. He now says, what you have was, so when Paul used the word spiritual, he expects you to see what he has said concerning spiritual before. So how does Paul now use the word spiritual?
The gospel and the man who receives the gospel, right?
Yeah. Are you following me?
Yes.
So in chapter 3 verse 1, he calls the man who received the gospel spiritual. Right? In chapter 10, he now says in chapter 10, let's rush down there. In chapter 10, you drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock is Christ. So, when he uses the word spiritual rock, he's using it in terms of spiritual things. So, maybe if I read the book of 1 Corinthians, I will see Paul using spiritual for things and for a person. The person will be the man who has received the gospel. The things will be the communication of the gospel. Right? That is Paul's, that is how Paul wrote in the book of 1 Corinthians. To the church at 1 Corinthians. So he will use spiritual for two things, for the word and concerning the gospel, and for the man who received the gospel. So when he says spiritual rock, is that spiritual person or spiritual thing? Spiritual things, right?
Follow me. Is that spiritual things? So how does Paul use spiritual things? The gospel. So when he says the rock that followed you, it means the gospel followed them. What is the gospel? Salvation.
Are you following that?
So was that what Moses was telling them?
Yes.
The rock of salvation, the rock of salvation. So Paul was saying that rock followed them, meaning all through their journey. Though they had that experience, Moses wanted for them to see that there was a rock, which is the gospel. And he said the rock followed them. That means the gospel was what they had all through the 40 days. Or 40 years in the wilderness. How do we know? Hebrews chapter 4 helps us see it.
Hebrews chapter 4. Quickly, let's rush to Hebrews chapter 4. Or before we get to Hebrews chapter 4, hold. Let's look at John 5. We'll get to Hebrews 4 shortly. Rush to John 5. John 5, verse 45. It says, do not think I accuse you before the Father.
So there's one who accuses you. Say Moses is in the church. Say if you have believed Moses. If you have believed Moses, you will believe me. Why? Oh, some of us are. Huh? Some people's Bible is now gone. Because of COVID. Bible is gone. It's gone. You shouldn't be using. If you're using phone Bible. If you're using online church, man.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.
Glory to God. Some people, their Bible has coffin. After some, you put inside coffin. You bury your Bible. I will let you know Sunday.
Amen. Glory to God. Okay, he says, do not think I accuse you before the Father. There's one who accuses you, Moses, in whom you trust. That's what he says. If you believe Moses,
you will have believed the one. For he wrote about Moses. So many Moses writing, Genesis as well, Leviticus, Numbers, is narrowed in on whom?
Christ.
Did you get that? Jesus said Moses wrote concerning me.
Luke 24:25. All fools has not had to believe
in all that the prophet has.
All that the prophet has spoken. All fools love have to believe in all the prophet has spoken. He said, ought not the Christ to have suffered this man and enter into his glory? He said, all fools love have to believe in all the prophet has spoken. What did the prophet speak about? Ought not the Christ to suffer this thing and enter into his glory? Meaning what the prophet wrote about is Christ.
Concerning Christ.
Hebrews 1:1. God who has sundry time and in diverse manner spoke in time past to the prophets, as in this last day spoken to us in his Son, whom he has appointed heirs over all things. All things will be over the words of the prophets. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Peter wrote, he said, oh, get it. He said, no. Scripture is of private interpretation. I mean, I cannot give that to a kind of meaning apart from the meaning that it is. What is the meaning concerning Christ? Did you get that?
Yes, sir.
Amen.
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 Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Are we here?
Yes, sir.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hebrews 4:1-5. So all the prophet was speaking about in the wilderness was concerning Christ. Look at Hebrews 4. Closed it down on it for us. Closed it for us to see it critically. Chapter 4, verse 4. I said, therefore, since the promise remains of entering the rest, let us fear, at least some of you seem to come for short of it. Hebrews 4:1. He said, for indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. Hebrews 4:1. The gospel was preached to us as well as to them. And the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those that heard it. For we who do believe to enter into the rest, as you have said, I swam in my rod, they shall not enter my rest. Hallelujah. So he's saying that the word was preached to us as it was preached to them, yet in the 40 days. Hallelujah. I mean the 40 years. It was preached to them between the 40 years. So all truth, regardless of what they were here, was concerning salvation, was concerning what God will do in Christ. That was what they had. So that's why Paul would answer, that rock did not stop them, that rock followed them. And he calls it spiritual. I mean, he expects you not to see the rock as the rock, as a miracle. Yes, miracle signs and wonders. It doesn't mean he wants to stop to look at it only as miracle signs and wonders. I want you to see it as what they had with them all through, and cause it spiritual. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Glory to God. So when Moses said God is the rock, he implied the message is concerning the redemption in Christ Jesus. When he said God is the rock, Paul said it is concerning Christ. So it's concerning God's salvation in Christ Jesus. Amen. God's salvation in Christ Jesus. Let's go back to Matthew 16. That was where we left from. So when Jesus said, upon this rock, will he be implying a physical rock or Peter or something else?
Something else.
Right? And what is that rock? Remember we said the rock is the message. Right? Concerning the truth of himself being the Christ, right? So when he said upon this rock, he's referring to the truth of what Peter has said. Upon the rock of what me, upon the truth of me being the Christ, I build my church. So the church of Christ will be built on that truth. Do you understand it? On that truth that Jesus is the Messiah. He is the Savior of the world. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So the truth is about himself. It's about himself spoken by Peter that he is the Christ. Hallelujah. And when he says he's the Christ, it implies his death, burial, and resurrection. Do you understand? Implies it's his death, burial, and resurrection. So the truth about his resurrection is I will build my church upon this truth that I will die and I will resurrect. And that was the words in the mouth of the prophet. Ought not the Christ to suffer this thing and enter into his glory? Amen. Now, back to Matthew 16. He said, upon this rock I will build my church. We begin to close from there. Upon this rock I will build my church. When he uses the word church, amen. Upon this word, when you use the word church, the word church is the Greek word ecclesia. Ecclesia. The word ecclesia is from the compound word kalio and ek, E-K, ek. Ek means to call out. Kalio, I mean, ek means out from. Out from. Kalio means to call. So when he says, upon the church I build my church, the word church means to call out from, to fulfill a purpose. To call out from, to fulfill a purpose, or to discuss a certain affair that is common amongst the people called. To call means to, I mean, church means to, the word church implies to call out from, to fulfill a purpose, or discuss a certain affair that is common to those who are called. So when the word church is used, you know, that word church is not coined by Jesus. Jesus didn't form the word church. No, you think so? No. Jesus didn't form the word church. That word church, ecclesia, is known by the ordinary Jew. When you hear the word church, you understand what the word church means. Hallelujah. Because the word ecclesia, so the Israelite, is used to refer to people who gather to discuss a certain affair. Do you understand? They have the same ideology, so they gather. So when people gather to the Israelite, when you hear church, they belong to a specific set of people who gather, that have the same ideology discussing a certain affair. Do you understand? So Jesus now uses that word for what he will do. He says, in the resurrection, I will call out men. Hallelujah. I will call out men to discuss the same affair. What will they discuss? They will discuss my truth. What is the truth? Is resurrection. Hallelujah. This man will be of, they will have the same ideology. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So when Jesus said, I will build my church, he said, I will call out my own people. So what is unique is that these ones are not gathering with different, with their own ideology. He said, they are my church. Hallelujah. My own. He personalizes it. I will build my own church. It means they can have other people. They can have other gatherings that are not his. But he said, I will build my church upon my resurrection. Hallelujah. We use the word I will build. That word build. I will build. Is the word oikodomio. Oikodomio. O-I-K-E-O-M-E-D-I-O. Let's spell it again. O-I-K-E-O-D-O-N-E-O. Oikodomio in the Greek. Oikodomio in the Greek. Permit my use of that word. I mean my pronunciation of the word. Oikodomio. Remember, let's look at how it's used in context. Matthew uses it in Matthew 7:24 when we read. He said he builds his house on the rock. Did you see that? He builds his house on the rock. Build his house on the rock. In Matthew 23:29, he uses it again. Matthew 26:6. Matthew used the word oikodomio. And all the while, I call the scriptures again, Matthew 21:23, 21:42, 23:29, 26:6, 27:40. Lastly, again. Matthew 21:33, 21:42, 23:29, 26:61, 27:40. Oikodomio.
Now the way Matthew uses the word oikodomio, he didn't use it for what is ongoing. He used it for what, you know what I mean by ongoing? He didn't use the word build like something that we are doing. No. Hallelujah. He used the word oikodomio for what has been done.
He who kills my say is like it to the man who builds his house.
It's not something that he's doing, something that has been done. Hallelujah.
Glory to God. So when Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, meaning it's something that he will do once and for all. It's not something that he will keep doing.
You know, some people, they want to start up a ministry, someone will say, let us pray that the Lord will build his own church and the gate of hell will not prevail. The Lord will build his church. And you will pray, oh God, build his church. Oh God.
No. You are missing scriptures. First, Jesus said, upon this rock, the rock is the truth, I will build my church. Oikodomio is used for what is done once for all. Amen. So Jesus doesn't always build church. No, Jesus has built his church.
And that is what we're going to look at. And that is where we are discussing the church of Christ.
Hallelujah. Amen. I will build my church.
Let us pray that Satan will not, that the gate of hell will not prevail. But let's pray.
Were you praying?
So your Bible says,
let us pray. Oh God, my God, hell will not prevail. Over this church we are building, you know, go on, look up.
Next month,
the man will chase you away. Oh God, this church we are building, you know, go on, look up. Oh God,
we build the church.
And I'm spoken to God. Oh God, we build this church.
And they chase you with the Lord.
I thought God used the church there. Amen. Okay. Let's continue. You know, during this COVID, we say, listen, we need to pray for the church of Christ.
You know, this COVID-19 is the gate of hell, not of the day. Hey, there's a fight between the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. It's in your village. But you know, they're not about knowing the word. When you know the word, you will come. You don't will come. No shaking.
Amen.
Glory to God.
That is peace. In the days of troubleness, you just be calm. That's what the word of God does to you. Amen. Glory to God. So let's continue. So what God, what Christ has done once and for all. Amen. So the church has been built. That's why he uses the word, and the gate of hell will not prevail. When you use the word gate of hell, let's look at that. When you use the word gate of hell, that word hell is the Greek word Hades.
Hades. It's not talking about what you think.
Woohoo! Amen. The gate of hell will not prevail. Now when he was saying that, remember he was telling them about his resurrection. And he said the gate of hell will not prevail. So upon this rock, upon this truth of my death, burial, and resurrection, because the Christ is to suffer, he will die and he will resurrect, right? Now he said upon this truth of my resurrection, he said I will build my church. He said the gate of Hades. Now when he said the gate of Hades, he is re-emphasizing that truth. Now the gate of Hades, the word Hades is used for the place of the dead. The gate of hell. Do you understand? The gate of hell means the place of the dead will not prevail. What is Jesus talking about? He's telling you, I will resurrect. That's what he's telling you. He means death will not hold it. Death will not stop the church from being built. Hallelujah. That's what he said. He said the place of the dead will not prevail. So when he resurrected, it means that death did not prevail. It means Hades did not prevail. Amen. 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 Glory to God. Hebrews 2:14. If you are there, I will read it for you. Hebrews 2:14. He said, inasmuch as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death He might destroy him who has the power of death, that is the devil. Did you see that? So, Jesus is dead. When he died and resurrected, that resurrection proved that death did not prevail. Hades did not prevail. Hell did not prevail. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So meaning at the resurrection, death did not prevail. The resurrection is a proof that hell did prevail. Hallelujah. So has the church been built?
Yes, sir.
Is the church being built?
Yes.
No. Has the church been built?
Yes, sir.
Is the church being built?
No.
Has the church been built?
Yes.
Is the church being built?
No.
Why? Because the church has been built. If you say the church is being built, you are trying to say Jesus has not resurrected. Are you following me? Are you following me? But because Jesus has resurrected, the church has been built. Say, upon this rock, upon this truth of me being the Savior, I will build my church. Hallelujah. And the truth is what? I will die and I will resurrect. That said, in my death, the gate of hell will not prevail. Meaning death, meaning I will resurrect. Death cannot hold me. And in his death, he dealt with Satan and gave a permanent blow to the devil. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 So ignorance will not make people gather and say, let's pray that the gate of hell will not prevail over our church. Let's pray. Don't do that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we can now say the church of Christ was born from the resurrection. The church of Christ was born from the resurrection. When he said, I will build, he was referring to the resurrection. So in the resurrection, the church was formed. The church was birthed. Hallelujah. So when Jesus resurrected from the dead, hallelujah, the church was built. Remember, when he resurrected, the resurrection is that church. Hallelujah. The resurrection is the church. So that means when he resurrected, he did resurrect. It was not an event that, actually, it's not Easter day. You know what I mean? It's not Easter. No. No, see beyond Easter. Easter. No, the death is the everyday reality of the believer. I mean, his resurrection is the everyday reality of the believer. Hallelujah.
Glory
to God.
Hallelujah.
So when he resurrected, the church was founded. When he resurrected, the church was made, was formed, was built. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
That resurrection is the church. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
That resurrection is the church. So when Jesus resurrected from the dead, he resurrected as the church. Hallelujah. When he resurrected as the church. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So the church is not a building. No. The church is not a pavilion. No. The church is not block. It's not cement. It's not Dangote. No! No! The church is not cement. The church is not wall. No! The church is Christ in the resurrection.
Hallelujah.
He resurrected as the church.
Glory
to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. He resurrected as the church. Glory to God. Oh, glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So the church is him in the resurrection. That is the church. So if you see Christ as the church, you know, you pray, oh God, build your church. No, you are trying to say he resurrected. Did you see? When you say, oh God, come and build your church, you know, go local. Come and build your church. Come and build your church here. Yes, as you put some of them carry down with this cement, and put it. That's religious cement. Like the house that is built before Zerubbabel. Hey, God, this church.
to stand. All the witches that we had in Mark people will not stop eating.
Your problem has passed the chapel.
Hallelujah.
The moment a believer, or the moment a believer begins to pray that God should come and build his church, he denies the major fact of his new birth.
Hallelujah.
He forsakes the major reality of his new birth. He forsakes the major reality of his person in Christ.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. In fact, he indirectly is saying unknowingly, because it's unknowingly, he's indirectly saying unknowingly that Jesus is not resurrected. That's what he's saying. Because if you understand the fact that Jesus resurrected, you know that the church has been built. And the church is him in that resurrection. Hallelujah.
Have you learned something today? Why not turn to your neighbor and share what you've learned?